DDG, for you, like, you know, I know you had the family unit, but some people would consider that non-traditional. So, like, just share how you kind of navigate that.
I mean, it's really like, I feel like it really doesn't affect the parenting. You know, I feel like,
you know, if you speaking on
that. Oh, yo, I thought you. Bro, I was like, what's happening right now? Yeah. Yo, what? Yo, I thought you was dead serious just now. Like, I'm looking at nigga like, yo, what's going on? So last episode of For the Fellas, we were standing on excellence. This episode, we are taking it back to where it all began and celebrating the excellence of Black fathers. I'm your host, Brian McIntosh, and I'm here with some fellas who exemplify that on a daily. First up, we have someone who has made us laugh and cry on the big screen for years. He's an actor, model, businessman, and one of the lead actors on Tyler Perry, House of Pain. Most importantly, he went to the real HU, that is Howard University, in case you didn't know. The one and only Mr. Lance Gross, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah.
How you feeling, my man?
Good, man. Blessed to be
Absolutely,
here.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate you being here, Black man. We appreciate it. Next up, we have one of the leaders of the new school. He's a platinum recording artist, entrepreneur, and has been a trailblazer of his generation with becoming one of the biggest YouTube superstars with over 1 billion streams. And he was recently listed and Forbes 30 under 30 for its impact in music. The one and only DDG.
What's up,
good,
man?
Brother.
Good,
appreciate
good.
You being here, Black man.
Of course.
Last but certainly not least, this man has been a superstar and business mogul since he was a teenager. He's an actor, comedian, television host, Emmy Award-winning producer, and not to mention, he is the creator of VH1's Wildin' Out, legendary Nick Cannon.
E-Mac, my
guy. Hey, listen, appreciate it. Hey, listen, we got to intro our people right here, BT. You know what I'm saying?
You did that.
Absolutely.
Class of civilization. I feel it.
For sure, man. So we're going to get into it all here on For the Fellas. We're going to talk Black fatherhood, love, mental health. Most importantly, man, I don't know about y'all, but I think being a father for me, man, makes me feel like a superhero. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I appreciate about Walmart and this Black Unlimited program, is highlighting Black fathers and the superheroes that we are. So I'm curious. I want to go around the room. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what's your superpower as a father?
My superpower?
Yeah, your superpower.
My son, 5 months.
You
know,
so. You fresh in this thing.
Yeah, I think right now is my main job is just keeping them alive, you know, getting this bottle ready. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like even though he can't talk and all of that yet, but I feel like we got a connection where I'm able to make him laugh. You know, I'm able to make him smile and stuff like that. So I feel like that's my superpower as a dad.
Nah, for sure. Nick, how you feel?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I would probably say... compassion, you know, a mix with empathy, you know, being able to feel and know that in my imperfections, I feel for them and hopefully they feel the same for me. So that spreads so deeply. But as a father, you understand, like, we're aligned and in tune that way that, you know, you'll give the world for your kids. So that compassion is probably my superpower.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I'm the big kid. That's my superpower. And it's funny you said superpowers because I looked at my dad like a superhero. So I follow his blueprint, you know, and just providing everything that I can for my kids. That's my superpower.
Nah, for sure, man. I think for me, man, my superpower, man, is just being unlimited in everything. Like, I really give my all to my child. Like, so like time, I cherish that, you know what I'm saying? So I'm always trying to maximize that my time with my child. You know, we all travel, we're all working, we all catching flights in the morning, right? So I'm thinking maximizing my time and make sure I'm just unlimited in what I give my child. I just try to make sure I'm conscious of that every moment. I cherish like it's my last. Lance, I know for you, when you first had your first child, you were like filming for like the Bobby Brown story and House of Pain. So like speak to that journey.
It's crazy because I actually turned down a dream job of mine that I really wanted, but they couldn't promise me that I could be back in LA to witness the birth of my child. You know, it was just too close. So for me, it was an easy decision. You know, I couldn't miss it. You know what I mean? And I turned it down and I was there for my daughter's birth. And it was the happiest time of my life, man. Like, I don't regret it at all. You know, I haven't looked back. But yeah, them things, it's just important to me. I got to see that. Especially my first.
Nah, for sure. How do you balance everything with your career and trying to show up as a parent?
You know, you just do the best you can, especially, like, I work in Atlanta a lot, but I also like to travel a lot, you know what I mean? So my off days, either I bring the family to me or I go to the family, you know what I mean? So my weekends, it's nothing for me to get on a flight, spend a couple of hours, whatever I could give to them, I try to pour into them because it's important.
For sure, for sure. DDG, man, I know you got a lot going on right now. You know what I'm saying? You have a young son. So just speak to how you're showing up for your son and, you know, showing up for your career.
It be tough sometimes, you know, like, because I be moving around a lot. Like, my schedule is everywhere. So, like, I might be chilling at home one day, and then tomorrow I might have to go to Atlanta. You know, I might have to go to Seattle or something like that. I don't really have, like, a set schedule or somebody telling me, hey, you got to be here and there. I kind of make up my own thing as I go. I have a lot of time on my hands to be with my kids, so that's a blessing. And I can kind of work from home. So, you know, it's kind of like, it's hard, but it really ain't. Yes, you know, it's just about, because nobody knows what my son look like. So it's, when I'm making content with him, or you know what I'm saying, you know the little funny content I be doing with him, it's like I got to make it to where it's still like cool to watch, but it's also like not giving too much. That's the only hard part. But other than that, like, I have a lot of time on my hands to be with my son.
Nah, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's what I appreciate about BET letting me work remote. I'm able to be with my child a lot. I'm able to travel back and forth from Atlanta to North Carolina and be with him. But sometimes that time isn't enough for my son, right? Like yesterday when I was coming to the airport, he was upset. He's like, why do you always have to work? He's you know what I'm saying? He's six. He's not understanding the work I'm putting in and how that's going to pay off later for what the things that he wants, all the toys, the trips he gets to go on. He's not understanding that all he wants is time. So Nick, when it comes to like that career and just balancing things, I know you have to share a lot of time with your kids. So just kind of speak to your career and how you balance that, but then also kind of sharing the time with your kids too that you got to sacrifice.
I mean, time is our greatest asset. It's the thing that, you know, once you spend it, you can never get back. And it, again, it's probably qualitative more than quantitative. So the more you can take those experiences and create core memories. I always say, like, I got great time management, but I have better energy management. So when you understand that, again, as much as we value what we call time, it still is a man-made entity. So, you know, like say things like, you know, time flies when you're having fun. That's a real thing to where you can see that process of, especially when you're dealing with children, we may not pay attention to it, but you know, something that seems so small can last a lifetime in their psyche. So I really try to pay attention to, it's not about the amount of time, it's about what you do with that time. Sure. So, and again, like I said, if we're looking in a linear base, you know, spread thin, but if you look in a spiritual base, it's like, yo, we're really trying to dive in and give them those core memories, those things that, I will always remember this time with my father opposed to the actual time.
Now, that's a fact. That's a fact. And I love that answer. And I guess to follow up with that, you balance everything well, bro.
Yeah,
I got to give you credit, man.
I'm a Libra.
Man.
I balance
hey,
well.
Hey, listen. That brother be on TV. He be securing business deals. You be with the kids, man. I love that, man. It's inspiring to see. But I got to ask, just being honest, I think we all deal with this in our journey with fatherhood, bro. Yeah. Is it ever any frustrations? We balancing a lot, bro. You know what I'm saying? From the day to day, then you still got to show up for your children. Is it ever any point where you're just kind of feeling overwhelmed or just frustrated?
100%. And then that's what I mean, like, even I honor you brothers right now, just sitting here and even having this discussion and really, you know, being open and vulnerable in a safe space to even talk about things like that. Because we'd be fronting if we said we don't get frustrated or we're not influenced by outside energy. So, I mean, I'll be the first to be like, man, this stuff gets hard, you know. And I think to be able to say that is not only healing for us, but for other people that are consuming the content. So, I mean, every day, every step, it's a challenge, you know what I mean? But I accept the challenge, and that's the beauty of fatherhood. Like, there's nothing easy about any of it. Whether you got one kid or 100 kids, it's always going to be something that is taking you away, because it's the most selfless act that you can become is becoming a parent. So in that process, you got to, you shift your priorities and it get every decision, you like, I could do this, but I gotta do that. And you know, like, so whether it's decisions from work, from personal life, like it gets frustrating at that level for me, because I'm such a thinker, I'm such a processor, like, all right, well, if I do this, how is that gonna affect this? So I'm constantly frustrated throughout the day because I wanna be able to be, you know, that superhero for everyone. But because, you know, creating that balance, you know, I think that's the weight that a father holds.
For sure. Yeah. How do you cope with it?
Prayer, meditation, you know what I mean? Really understanding that I'm not going to be perfect. And like, you know, Lance said, man, long as you're doing your best, long as you close your eyes at night and be like, I gave it my all today, and hopefully the Lord gives me another opportunity tomorrow to be better than I was today. That's the whole goal, man. I think that's, you know, even outside of a father, just being the best man I could possibly be for every aspect.
That's a fact. Lance, speak to some of your frustrations and how you cope with it.
I mean, like Nick said, it's a part of life. We're all human, you know. I allow my children to see my frustration sometimes, but it's a teaching moment for them because it's how you deal with it. You know what I mean? We talk about why we're frustrated a lot. You know what I mean? I just got to show them that, you know, it's okay to be frustrated, to make mistakes, learn from your mistakes. You know what I mean? There's always a lesson in everything. So, I get frustrated. My wife gets frustrated. We all get frustrated. You know what I mean? That's something that happens to us as people. But like I said, you take it, you learn from it, you pray about it, and you try to figure out what God is trying to show you. Mm. You know what I mean? And it makes you stronger.
Nah, I love that, man. It's like understanding what the lesson is as you go, I think, is essential. And DDG, you know what I'm saying? I was 27 when my son was born, so I was kind of right the same age as you with my firstborn, man. And that was tough, bro, because I was living in Connecticut at the time. I was working at ESPN. My son's in North Carolina. So that traveling back and forth, missing out on key moments, it was frustrating for me because, you know, as men, alpha males, you want to be the best at everything. And I felt at the time when my son was in the younger stages, I felt like because I wasn't there every day, I wasn't being my best. It was frustrating. So I know with you balance a lot traveling. Obviously, you know, your family unit, both of y'all travel a lot. Just speak to some of the trials and tribulations and how you deal with that.
Well, we kind of split right now because she's shooting a movie. Mm. So, like, she just had him, so she kind of want him to be with her all the time. So yeah. I got to, like, accommodate, you know, her time and, you know, how she feeling. And whenever she free and I'm free, I can go out there and, like, spend the weekend. And then, you know, sometimes she might come back and then I keep him for a little bit. But I guess some frustrations where I would like to be, like, I would like to spend more time, you know? I feel like a big frustration also is, like, the internet is kind of weird with me. So it's like, I don't be liking to, everybody. I can't show too much.
Yeah.
And then it's like, when I don't show my kid, people get mad. And then it's like, what, you know, why do you care about seeing my kid that bad? But, you know, I think my most frustrations come from outside opinions from people that don't even know me.
Bro, we support you. We're going to continue to give you pats on the back. You know what I'm saying? So, and again, we're talking about juggling things. I think our family village helps us with that a lot. That village, man, I'm telling you, like, it's a major key when it comes to raising these young kings and queens. So, Lance, I'll come to you first. Just speak to how your village supports you in your fatherhood journey.
Man, I have a strong village. I mean, it started with my parents, who were together for over 46 years. Mm. So that having that, you know, as a blueprint, it kind of shaped my world. I have two beautiful twin sisters who are a part of my village, and just my friends. I got a good circle of friends, and I got hella friends, and all of them, the ones that have children, they're great fathers. Like, I'm proud of that, you know what I mean? Because it was this stigma that, you know, black men don't take care of their kids. I don't know that, you know what I mean? And these are people that are living check to check to rich folk, you know what I'm saying? But all of them, you know, they step up and they do what they need to do for their kids. And, you know, we always hop on the phone if we need advice from each other, or, you know, if we're going through something and, you know, they might have been through it. So it's shoulders to lean on. And, you know, all of us want well for each other, you know what I mean? And that's a beautiful thing to have your village like that, you know, because as they say, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, I got a great one.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Nick, again, like, you know, I know your village is essential,
man,
for you.
Man, I got my own village. Literally.
Literally.
We got a small metropolitan. You know, honestly, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. I mean, even more than saying I got a village, it's a tribe, you know what I mean? In that sense of when you take it back to the study and the energy of the diaspora, it really is those concepts of
we're only, you know, each of us is only strong as one of us. And in that sense of being there, I learned from the lineage of my father and his father and, you know, all the men that operated as patriarchs, you know, over our family. And all I know to do is with all of my children and being a provider, being a leader and being that one, I love it. You know what I mean? I love every aspect of it. I love every challenge. I love every new idea, everything that's presented to me. So it's when you grow your village, when you have the ability to know that this is legacy building, this is something that, you know, I'm not just doing it for me. It's not a selfish act, but it is a selfless act that you, every step I make is for the village, is for the tribe. So that's the concepts that I try to live by.
I love that, man. I love that answer. And again, that family unit is a major key. So DDG, I'm curious, man, just speak to, like, you know, how your family unit, your village is, like, supporting you in your journey.
My mom is like a superhero. So, like, she's the mother of five kids. And she's the greatest. So, you know, whenever I get frustrated or, you know, I feel like I need to go to the studio or I need to do something, I know I can always call my mom to watch my kid. Also, like my brother, he's the father of my popular nephew. So, you know, I got a lot of family. Like I made sure when I made enough money that I was able to bring my family to LA. So, you know, that made it a lot easier for me because I'm from Michigan. Yeah. So, you know, having my immediate family in LA down the street from me, and I could just, at any moment in time, if I need help, I know I can bring my son there and go do what I got to do. That makes my life a lot easier.
Nah, that's real, man. That's real. I think for me, it's the same thing, bro. That village, bro, is the key. We're traveling a lot, so we need that support system, man. So, like, my mom right now is babysitting my son more. Shout out to little cuz. He helping out, too. He over there at the house right now making sure he's entertained. It's like, you need that village. And I think, too, man, my BET family, like, sometimes I'm bringing my son on set. My director, she's over there. She's babysitting while we on set. You know what I mean? It's a team effort. So I'm curious for you guys, who's a woman in your lives that just make your journey easier?
Man, for me, my wife.
Yeah.
My wife, I mean, she a beast, you know what I mean? She makes me want to be a better father just because she does such a good job at being a mother. You know what I mean? When I'm off at work, I mean, you guys know, like, you know, we get busy, you know, and they got to hold it down, and she holds it down well. You know, also, my mother, you know, I often have to put myself in check because, you know, we might complain about, you know, being busy or having this and that, the kids' schedule. But, like, my mom and dad, they did it without a nanny, without a lot of childcare, without as much money as we may have, you know. So I look back on that and, like, damn, they really, I thought I was grinding. They was really grinding, you know what I mean? Because I got two kids. They had twins and me, and I know I was a handful, you know what I'm saying? So just navigating that whole thing, I look on that a lot, and it checks me, you know? Like, they did it, and I got a nanny. I got two nannies, you know what I'm saying? Like, I shouldn't be complaining, so, yeah.
No, it's a fact. It's like, damn, it's like, y'all really got it easy, you know what I mean? Compared to how it used to be in the old days, yeah. For real. Man. So DDG, I'll come to you, and then I'll go to Nick. What you think? Who's, like, some of the women in your lives that's making your life easier?
Well, Hallie, for sure. She's a great mom. She, you know, I kind of, like, we kind of compete on who's, like, the better parent. She beat me right now. So, you know, she's a great mom. She does everything for a first-time mom, you know. So she's learning along the way, but she's a fast learner. I know I can always rely on her no matter what. I know my son is good if he were her. So... and like my mom, like I said, she's always there. My sister, she's like a unpaid nanny. You know, whenever I need her, she's there. She's very loving and everything. And we also got a nanny. We got a night nurse, so I feel like that's essential. It's expensive, but I feel like it's worth every dollar because, you know, you don't get no sleep with no newborns. You know that.
That's a fact. Who are some of the women in your lives that just make your journey easier?
All of them.
all of y'all.
No, you know what? And in all seriousness, I got to, you know, give respect and honor to every mother of my children. But if I'm going to say
where do I lean, or even where my tutelage comes from. It's definitely the matriarch of my family, my great-grandmother, who's been a mother to us all, is 104 years old and still mobbing. She texts me every day. She got a cell phone. She be like hustling, like all like Kannapolis, North Carolina, like and really, it's so amazing when you see, you know, cut from good stock, man. Like just how sharp she is. How she knows. I mean, she has hundreds of grandchildren, and she knows everybody's birthday. She knows how to stay in tune with everybody. Sharp. So when you see somebody like that, still filled with so much life and still the leader of the family, like will call me every week and check me and I heard you said this and why you do this and why you name that kid this and like you know like it's and like for someone to be that attentive and that loving, it's an example for everyone in the family, specifically even all the mothers. So, and the fact that we're blessed enough to still have her here at 104. You know what I mean? And like, you know, a lot of people, as they get older and age, you start to have to care for them and stuff. But she's still, she mama, she's grandma, she's all of that to so many. So, you know, we're grateful for her. You know, we celebrate her every day just to know, like, you know, this, it's a true superhero. It's something that you really don't hear of. So, you know, shouts out to Kareem Cannon. Because she gets it right every time.
You know, we are superheroes, yeah. And we have these superpowers. But we're not perfect. You know, we're fathers, we're human. And so I'm curious for you guys, just speak to something that you want to improve on as you go through the journey. I think for me, man, it's just giving myself more grace, not getting so frustrated, understanding that this is a journey, and it's not, everything's not going to come, like, easily. It's going to require work. 10 to 11 care. I think about my son now, you know, he's in kindergarten, transitioning to first grade, and, you know, we sitting there. I don't know if you ever seen the meme where it's like, all right, if Jimmy got 3 apples and Tommy got 2, then how many apples he got? You know what I'm saying? So I found myself, we studied for this test, and I'm getting a little frustrated, you know what I'm saying? Because he just wasn't getting it. You know, and he's a young child, you know what I'm saying? He's going through the process. He's, you know, hella smart. He's just going through the process. You know how it was when we were younger. Our mama be the same way, standing over our shoulder. And he was like, well, Dad, you know, I'm trying. I was like, you're right. You know what I'm saying? I had to take a step back and it's like, okay, even though this test is tomorrow, let me just work through it with him. And you know, we're parents, so we want our child to succeed, right? You want the best for your children. So sometimes we get so caught up in him just winning and being successful in these things that it's like, yo, it's okay. Speak to something that you want to improve on. For me, that was one thing I want to continue to improve on.
I mean, I think I got it down pat.
But you know, that sound like somebody 5 months in.
Yeah, right.
I got it.
That's a fact.
All right.
That's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, people always, they be telling me like, oh, terrible twos, terrible threes.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like that's going to be the fun part. Like, you know, I feel like having a bad kid would be funny. You know, I feel like it would be kind of cool. But I don't know what I can improve on. Like, I was gonna jump in and ask you, like, do you want your kid to go to college, or do y'all want your kids to go to college? Is that like something that you gonna like instill in his brain or her brain? Like, you have to go to college.
Well, being a Howard grad, of course, I want my children to go to Howard. So,
you know.
But I mean, of course, that's what I want for my kids. You know what I mean? But if they didn't want to go. If they want to, I don't know, do music or be an actress or actor, I'm going to support that. You know what I mean? So sometimes you got to take what you want out of the picture. Of course, you throw stuff out there and, you know, if they catch on to it, they catch on to it. But at the end of the day, I'm going to support my kids, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that answer.
Yeah, you just want health, safety, and happiness in that order.
Right.
That's it.
You know what I mean? And once you realize that, it's like, it's not even in my control. All I can do is be the best example.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? Like, even talking about, you know, improving, man, it's just really just spending time with God, you know what I mean? And really hearing the voice to be able to say and do all of the right things. And then in that balance, tapping into the mental wellness, because like you said, that's even what we sitting here discussing. Like, our flesh is gonna speak instantly. You're like, ooh, I don't know if that was that was the right thing to say, or the, maybe the right, but if you just, you know, allow whatever's, however and whatever your process and the flow when you're parenting, you hope to make every decision, but we know we're going to make mistakes. We know we're not going to get it right every time. So that humbleness, but then at the same time, it's like, shoot, God help me. You know what I mean? Like, that's really what I want to get more in tune with and more aligned with.
To circle back for a second, you know, when I was talking about, you know, just, you know, wanting my son to succeed so bad, right? I think I get that from my parents. They were old school. You know, they wanted the best for me. They were on me. Like, studies was very serious. If you was going to play a sport, you taking it very serious. Everything that I was involved in, we taking it very serious. And I think for us, we're younger now. So that's what I appreciate with Walmart and the Black Unlimited program is highlighting and pushing the narrative of progressive parents, right? So speak to kind of what you guys are doing in this new wave of parenting, you know, when it comes to just being a progressive parent. I think for me, man, I'm a little bit more chill than my dad and my mom, right? It's like, you know, where my mama, if my son more, he running around doing something, she like, stop that stuff. I'm like, Ma, you good? Let him rock out. Let him, you know what I mean? Let him get his energy out. You know, just speak to some things that you guys are doing when it comes to progressive parenting and letting your kids kind of, you know, do their thing.
Yeah, well, obviously my family dynamic is super unorthodox, you know, just based off of, you know, it's not your traditional nuclear family that, you know, and I wasn't, you know, a part of it. I didn't witness that as a kid either. So I feel like the way I parent is just a reflection of who I am, you know what I mean? So I like to the same thing even Lance was saying, like, I'm a big kid at heart at the end of the day. So I'm not trying to be friends with my kids, but I'm the fun dad. I'm the one, like, when dad's home, it's a party, you know what I mean? We turning up. So I think to have that nature and to know that going back into creating quality core experiences. And, you know, like I said, we all sitting here as very blessed individuals to be able to even have the foresight to say my child has a choice to go to college or not, or my child has a choice to be this way or that way. A lot of brothers aren't blessed with that, you know, and the struggle is real. And I come, we all, you know, I know both y'all brothers, we all come from stuff to where we have it better now than anybody else has ever had it in our family. So that allows us to kind of have that new age parenting because it's lighter. Our parents was hard on us because if we go outside, it's action. It's tough out there. So they gotta say certain things. They gotta put certain parameters around us because they trying to keep us safe. Or we don't have the access to the vegan choices and the non-GMOs. We had to eat what, you know, the government was giving us. Or we had to eat what we could go get at the corner grocery store. We have different experiences now. So it's a blessing, man, to be able to be like, oh, my children have whatever they want. They can be whatever they want. And that's a whole new style of, not even just because we're well off, it's just where the world is today. You know what I mean? That process of, you know, I struggled quite a bit with, you know, kids having access to, you know, phones.
She was just talking
about it. But again, we look at it like, oh no, too much time or too much screen time. Yeah, but we didn't have screens. We had Game Boys. You know what I mean? Like, so now that's how we're all communicating. Everybody in here is on their phone. You know what I mean? Like, and that people are making millions of dollars, you know, through social media and their devices. And so I can't, if my son wants to game, I'm looking like, you're gonna be the best gamer there is. You better, like, let's give you the headset, the chair, whatever you need to do, because if that's the same way I want to train one of my sons who want to hoop, and if this one want a game, they making the same amount of money as a career and just as happy. So it goes back to those ideas that we have to think differently than our parents thought, because the accessibility, the things that we have, it's a different world than that time. Keeping the same principles and understanding of, like, yo, we got to have the household operate in order, but we definitely going to be a little bit more lenient because the world is a little more lenient.
It's crazy because I had cool parents, you know what I mean? But I'm a little cooler than my parents, you know what I mean? But it's crazy because, like, when I was growing up, we played out on the block, you know what I mean? Yeah. I had
slumber parties, I would go to slumber parties. My kids ain't going to no slumber parties.
At all.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to let them just run the neighborhood just because it's just different times right now. But my wife gets on me because I am the cool parent. But I'm a big believer of learning from your mistakes. Now, I can control, like, the whole slumber party and all that stuff and neighborhood, whatever. But, it's just a balance you got to have. You know what I'm saying?
Daddy's always going to be cool.
You know what I mean?
It's a good time over here. It's
like,
a good time.
No matter where you got a son or a daughter, they're going to be like, they can't wait till daddy get home.
Yeah.
It's that energy to where, like, the majority of the time, dad's the first word because it's the easier word to say. But it's just like, we take so much pride in that. And then there's such a connection. They need daddy. They need that connection of, like, all right, that the balance and the understanding of what the world is. And as the protector, we got to let them know this is what's coming up. So clearly it's our job to protect mommy while she's nurturing and then create that safe space. And then we got to step in and create parameters and boundaries. And, you know, even it's the resonance in our voice. You know what I mean? There's a difference when you all see it when your kid running around and mom say, you better not do that. Don't run over there. And be like, hey, don't run over there. It's just different. Your child is going to react differently to our tone than it would be to mom's tone. So those are the things, like, you know, even shoot, when my kid was 5 months old, I took a page right out of Martin's book. I was like, hey, you going to recognize his voice because they know as soon as they hear that bass, in that voice, you got the super deep voice. Like when they hear that, that's gonna be like, yo, they know you don't have to be aggressive with your discipline or nothing. Mm-hmm. Just the tone in the father's voice.
It sends a message.
You know what I mean? And that's one of those superpowers. That's one of those things where you don't even have to raise your voice. It's just the weight in your voice. Sparks the energy in your child that they have to automatically respect, innately respect.
Nah, for sure, for sure. Did you with some of your progressive parenting styles?
Man, I feel like I'm gonna be the most lenient parent ever. I think it's because I got
you're
a son.
You're so laid back.
You mad too.
I feel like it's because I got a son, though. I feel like I'd be a lot more strict if I had a daughter. Mm-hmm. But, that's why I asked about the college thing, because I ain't going to tell my kid he got to go to college. Like, I'm going to tell him, I went to college. Yeah. And I was valedictorian in high school, too. So I was, like, big on academics. But, you know, when I got to college, I realized, like, you know, thinking outside of the box could be more beneficial. And I took the chance and dropped out. And, you know, I'm where I'm at today. So I feel like when it comes to school, I want my kid to... You know, I want my kid to sneak out the house. All of that stuff kind of, it helps you become a man. Mm. So, you know, I feel like as he gets older, I'm going to start, like, when I start seeing him do little things, I'm going to be a lot more lenient and let him learn his lesson. So I think that's...
That's actually really wise. That's what they say. Like, you can't overprotect because you got to, even the same thing, you got to let your kids be as active as they want and... It's not, you don't try to prevent them from falling, it's you let them fall and then you show them picking them up and getting back up is like. If you're too overprotective, they'll never know what it feels like. And then when you're not there, then it's like, what do? It's like, so you allow your kids to be active, you allow them to, like, because, and especially as men too, you want, like, go out there and fall a little bit, like, cry a little bit, we're gonna get you back up, but you gotta know what that experience is like. Mom might coddle them a little, you know, like, because that's her nature to be like, I want to make sure that they never hurt. I want to make sure, but you want them to, feel a little something.
Scrapes.
Because that creates the armor that they need when they step outside. Mm. So, you know, that's good intuitive thinking right there.
No, I love that, man. Like you said, I think just letting them learn how to learn from their own lessons and what they go through in life. That's something that my dad did a lot for me growing up. And Lance, I'm gonna come to you, man, because for me, you know, my dad passed away. I lost my dad right in front of me, bro, when I was 18.
Oh,
so then fast forward 10 years later, I have my son.
Yeah.
So I know for you, your father passed away like the year before you had your son. So just for me, man, it's like, even though my dad's been gone.
You did some research.
we do our research here, you know what I'm saying? So I'm curious for you, man, just speak to how your dad influenced your parenting.
Man, like I said, man, my dad is and was my superhero. Mm. You know what I mean? My dad, he was diagnosed with dementia. He passed in 2017 before he was able to meet my son. But, man, it's crazy because my son is so much like my father. And it's crazy. I named my son Lennon Lauren Gross. I didn't want to make him a junior. I wanted to give him his own, you know what I mean? But I thought it was important to have my father's name. So my father's name was Lauren. It's just, my dad was everything to me, you know what I mean? And when I look at this fatherhood thing, I just try to be at least a high percentage of what my father was. And then if I could do that, then I know I'm doing this shit amazing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because that's how I feel about my dad. And it's crazy. One thing, I went to see because I took it hard. I mean, you lose somebody that is that big in your life, you know, it hits you. But one thing I was always wondering was why he didn't visit me in a dream. You know what I mean? I don't know. But so I went to New Orleans. I went to see a medium, and she was like, you know, your dad visits you all the time. He comes as a butterfly. And it's crazy because I talked to my sister, and I told my sister, she was like, wow, last night I had a dream about a butterfly. Oh, and it's crazy. So now with our kids, we got a garden in the front of our house, and, you know, butterflies that just come visit, and, you know, they'll be like, man, that's granddad. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like my father lives on, you know what I mean? And it's beautiful to see. And my son, he asked so many questions about my father. And, you know, and that opens up the conversation to God and heaven. And, you know, it's even though he's never met my father, he's under his wings. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that's it's moving for me. No, you know what I mean?
That's beautiful, man. That could, you can feel it. You can feel it. You know what I mean?
Every,
you feel
it. Every time we see a butterfly. Yeah. And even when I'm stressed at work or, you know, what we do is hard. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we'll be on location shooting outside and I'm just not getting it. I see a butterfly. Yeah. And I just calm. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm sorry to go into all that.
Nah,
yeah.
I feel that, man. Yeah. I resonate with that. That spirit is real, man. Yeah. You can see the love and the compassion that you share for your family. And all of that makes sense. I mean, people who have a spiritual alignment can completely understand that.
Nah, for sure, man. Like I said, man, to circle back, for me, man, with my dad, like, you know, so I'm having my son, you know what I'm saying? My brother, I have an older brother, but he didn't have kids. So my dad, you know, he's gone. So, like, I had to do this dad journey on my own, bro. Yeah. Like, I didn't have another man I could come to really seek advice, to just guide me, to tell me what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong. So it's like, I'm just trying to figure it out, bro. And it's funny, you were talking about the butterfly story. Man, my son, like, he'll literally just, like, randomly, when he's drawing things of the family, like, he always makes sure to, like, draw my dad. Yeah, yeah. And I'll be like, well, who's that right there? Well, that's Grandpa Will. He'll put the wings on there. Yeah. And it's just, man, it mean a lot when, you know, your kids can still resonate. They still feel connected to somebody that they never even met. How have you just been able to navigate being a parent without having that, just, you know, it's a dad. You can't call him. Mm-hmm. It's crazy we take this luxury, just being able to, like, I remember just being in the house saying dad, or being in the house yelling mom. Mm-hmm. You take that for granted. It's something we just do without even thinking about it. When I get back home, be like, yo, mom, I'm here.
Yeah.
Bro, it's going to be a day that you don't be able to do that. So just speak to the trials and tribulations that you have dealt with as in your journey. You know, you just don't have your father to lean on through that.
You know, there's so many conversations I wish I could have with my dad. And even though he's not here, having kids, I could relate to him so much more now, because a lot of stuff, I have clarity about a lot of stuff. Like when he was frustrated and, you know, he didn't want me to ever see him frustrated or cry, but I did. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And now I, even without having a conversation with him about it, I understand it because I get what he's going through, you know, putting food on the table, making sure I was good. You know, it's hard. It's hard not having your dad, you know what I mean? But I do have my mother, and that's a blessing. Mm. I have my sisters, and that's a blessing. You know, whenever I find myself missing my dad, I just call moms and we talk about stories, or my sisters that tell me stories. You know what I'm saying? So he's here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Maybe not in the physical, but he's here for sure. I feel him.
Yeah. Legacy lives on, man. Nick and DDG, I'm curious for you guys. Who are just some of the males in your life? just whether it be father figure, brothers, friends, that you know have helped you in your journey on fatherhood?
Well, my brother, you know, he had a, when he had a son, it was kind of weird because, you know, it's like, you know, we in the house, we just chilling as kids, you know, we just like kids. And then he had a kid and I just seen how he was a father, even though like growing up, we didn't have too much, but he was like working at Comcast at the time. And, you know, he was making it, making sure he got home and, you know, we was like incorporating his son in our videos and stuff like that. And it was just, when I see him as a father, like, I kind of look up to that because him and my nephew name is Woo-Up, and him and Woo-Up is like best friends. Like, they talk like homies. Like, that's the type of connection I want to have with my kid. I don't want to, like, obviously I'm his dad, you know, and if he do something wrong, I'm going to tell him about it. But I want him to tell me, like, hey, you know, oh, I met this girl, man, and woo-woo, and what should I do? And then I tell him, and, you know, and, or he can tell me, like, when he did something wrong, and I can talk to him about it, and you know, and we can be, like, homies more than just, like, do this, do that. No, that's wrong, you know? So I definitely look up to how my brother is a father to his kid, and I kind of want to reciprocate that for mine.
Nah, I love that. I love that. Nick?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. My father is dope. But he also, like, my parents had me when they were still in high school. I went to my dad's high school graduation. So his father was the father to both of us, you know what I mean? And he really was like the patriarch. He was the one, you know, they called Daddy Cannon. He was a real one. They called him Lonesome in the streets. I got it tatted on my neck. So it's like they always called me like Lil Lonesome type of thing. When I got to watch a real dude move and be a father to, you know, he has five kids, and like really just even watch him father my father. You know what I mean? Because really, like I said, we a very young family. And, you know, when he passed on and everything, it was life changed for me because it was like, even within the family dynamic, he was the one that everybody went to. You know what I mean? Like, if you needed something, you need to talk. He was diesel dude, all of that type of stuff. So even from protection and everything. So that energy shifted. And even as, you know, speaking of, you know, your experiences and both of y'all sharing your losses, it's still like, even, you know, my father is still, we rock every day. But even knowing, like, I watched when he lost his father, what that did to him and what that did to our entire family dynamic. And it's like, even having to step up and be like, all right, we're going to take every lesson that he taught all of us and put it forth. So it's just like, it's good to have some form of patriarch, you know, some form of family leader in whatever it is, whether it's your brother, your immediate father, your grandfather. Like, it's always somebody that kind of run, especially a black family. It's all, everybody, the person you go to is going to give you a couple of dollars, one person, whatever going on, they can make one phone call and make it go away. You know what I mean? Like, those type of individuals. And now I feel like I'm that for my family and even obviously for all of my children. I've taken that on, you know, with great valor to be like, yo, I can get it done. If you know, I try not to tell anybody no. I'm like, yo, we're going to figure it out. And I got that from, you know, from my grandfather.
I love that. I love that, man. And like I said, man, like, shout out to y'all for like doing what you guys are doing. You know what I'm saying? We do the best what we can with the cards that we're dealt, right? And you guys are stepping up and doing what you need to be doing. And like, again, you know, my dad was a great dad, you know, but he wasn't perfect, right? And I think one of the things that like resonate me, one of our conversations we had in my teenage years is, you know, my dad, you know, he had two previous kids before me, my brother and my sister. And he was like, you know, when I had you, I felt like I got a third chance at being a parent. And bro, like, those words have like stuck with me all my life. And so I always, when I found out I was having my son, it was non-traditional, you know, but I said, I vowed to myself, I said, yo, I'm gonna get it right on the first child. So I bring that up to say, you know, you guys, Nick and DG, it's untraditional. I know you have the family unit, but it's still untraditional. Speak to like how you guys navigate, and Nick, I'll come to you first, you know, showing up being a parent, even though your situation wasn't traditional. It's not the traditional family unit that we're all grown and accustomed to.
Yeah, man, I deal with it daily, you know what I mean? Study stoicism quite a bit.
And Marcus Aurelius said, you know, let's not spend time arguing about what is a good man. Just be one.
Preaching.
You know what I mean? Because everybody gonna have different opinions of how you should father, or how you should just walk the walk. Just be it. You know what I mean? I don't owe anybody any explanation of how I father except for my children. Mm. And long as the connection is there for them, and you know, whatever the challenge, whatever the, you know, long as they're happy with their father, long as they know their father loves them, it's not gonna be traditional. It's not gonna be orthodox. We gonna bump heads, we gonna go through some stuff, but one thing every single one of my children will know is that I love them unconditionally. And the fact that it is non-traditional and unorthodox, it's gonna allow them to be whoever they wanna be. You know what I mean? Because I'm not, I can't, you know, who am I to judge? You know, so it's gonna be an easier dynamic for them to be like, yo, Dad, I just got into this, or Dad, I did this, because they know I'm gonna be real with them, because I'm not perfect. So I can never expect you to be perfect. I want you to be better than me. You know what I mean? But it is definitely that process of, even as a family, I constantly say, like, we got to go through it together, and we ain't going to just go through it, we're going to grow through it.
Respect to you for how you handle it and navigate that, man. I know it's a lot. DDG, for you, like, you know, I know you had the family unit, but some people would consider that non-traditional. So, like, just share how you kind of navigate that.
I mean, it's really like, I feel like it really doesn't affect the parenting. You know, I feel like,
you know, if you're speaking on that.
Oh, yo,
yeah.
I thought you. Bro, I was like, what's happening right now? Yeah. Yo, what? Nah. Yo, I thought you was damn serious just now. Like, I'm looking at nigga like, yo, what's going on?
Nah, that's how I really talk, but I usually talk like this. For like,
the switch up is crazy. Yeah. Do you ever talk like that to the kid, to the little one?
Yeah, that's how I talk at home.
But when I get on, like when I do, like, content and I'm working and stuff, I feel like this is more common, it's more, like, normal. So, you know, growing up, it was definitely a struggle, you know, using my actual voice. But, you know, when I do stuff like this, I like to speak like this, but I felt a little comfortable. I don't want to make y'all feel uncomfortable. Man.
I got a question. So when you get in an argument, what voice is
it? I mean, it depends. Like, you know, I kind of, you know, I use this voice at home. So, you know, if I get in an argument, you know, I come off like that, because it comes off more stern and more like, you know, like being serious. I'm not laughing, though, you know.
Respect. You got it. How does a lady like the voice?
What'd you say?
How does wifey like the voice?
I mean, yeah, it's normal. It's normal at this point. But to get back to your question, though, I feel like the non-traditional thing is kind of just outside opinions. My situation kind of just happened.
You know, so we had to make the decision.
Yo, bro, you really surgical with that.
Talk about non-traditional.
My bad, go ahead, though.
Yeah, I feel like we just, you know, we had to make a decision.
For sure, man. And, like, to circle back on that, like, you know, you're in a high-profile relationship.
Yeah.
And you're navigating parenthood in that with a young infant. Is it ever just a lot to deal with? Because, obviously, you know, you got online people giving their opinions. The world is watching you guys' every move. Just speak to, like, you know, how you navigate that.
Well, like, online?
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult.
There's a lot of people in our business, and it's like, I don't know what it be. It's just weird, bro. You know, it's like, you don't know us. And I know what it's, but at the same time, like, I don't blame people too much, because I used to be that person in my room on Twitter, tweeting at celebrities, you know what I'm saying? And just praying they see it, you know, oh, they gonna see this, woo, woo, woo. And so I get it. I feel like people do it because they don't think, you know, public figures can see it. Cause every time I notice it, you know, they say, oh, I'm a big fan, bro. I didn't really mean it, you know? Or it's like, they're just surprised, you know? And it's something that they tell all their friends when they go back home or go to school or something like that. So, I don't blame him too much because I've been in his shoes before, but it's definitely annoying. It does affect, you know, sometimes it does affect real life and it might cause a discussion inside the home, you know. So it's like, you know, it's just knowing when to turn off social media and when to just say, you know what, bro, when I turn my phone off, none of this really matters. You know, yes. It's like, you don't mean nothing to me. Yeah. And I have never, ever in my entire life of content, living, have anybody ever came up to me and said any of that stuff to my face.
Oh, yeah. It ain't gonna be to your face.
Never that, man. Respect to how you handle that, man. I know it can be a lot with the social media, man. You handle it well. And like, you know what I'm saying? I know people always want to see, oh, let us see. And it's like, yo, y'all gonna do that on your time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So keep standing on business. How you doing?
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's a universal law that low frequency is more attractive. And it's unfortunate because that's what algorithms are built off of. But I guarantee you there's so many more people who love you than who have adversity towards what you're going through. It's just that we don't see that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's one of those things where it's, even I say people in comments are, they're extremes. They either really, really love you or they really, really dislike you. The people who are just existing don't really have time to get to the comments like that. But when they see you in person, they're going to give you the respect. They're going to give you the love because that's the innate nature of it. But for whatever reason, low frequency is so much of that down there to kind of fly above that and be elevated. You're already that individual. So you got to look at it as like, you know, it's whatever they're saying, they're still fans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're still making them feel a certain type of way. And I always say, you know, pigeons will never understand how eagles soar and lions don't lose sleep over the opinions of sheep. So it's like when you operate from that essence, that you know what you signed up for. You know you are a public figure. So I salute, you know, you and the mother of your child, man, because you guys handle it in a regal manner. You know what I mean? And you do it really well. You lean into the comedy oftentimes. She's very queen-esque how she handles it and feels like you guys are untouchable in a manner, man. You gotta keep that going, and especially to protect the little one, man. You guys you're doing a phenomenal job, man.
You gotta let it flow off you like water with the comments. I used to have to check myself, man. It'd be like thousands of positive comments, and
we focus I'll on be the focused negative.
On the negative, the one negative, or 20 negatives.
Yeah,
but, you know, you just gotta, man, create your own bubble, man.
Yeah.
Just live in your bubble. Yeah. Come out when you want to.
Facts.
That negativity stick out for sure.
Yeah.
Responding to it is like fuel for the fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what they want.
I just look at it as like, it's some movies I might see a character and I don't like the character.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I don't like, you know, it's some things you did in Love Don't Cost a Thing that I didn't like.
Like what?
What you trying to say,
DDG? That was a classic, by the way. I'm just saying.
Hey, the voice don't come.
Hey. You're going to bring the voice back.
Yeah, I feel like DDG and who I am in real life is two different people. Like, y'all see me off camera, I'm chill. Like, I'm chilling. But, you know, you put a camera in my face, I'm perform. You know, that's what I'm paid to do. That's how I'm here. So, you know, it's just a big difference. I feel like if a lot of people was to meet me in person, they'd get a different perspective, you know, because the internet can definitely flip and exaggerate a lot of negative things. That's really not what it looked like, you know?
That's a fact. And Nick, I mean, you know, stranger to that too. You deal with the same thing when it comes to social media. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sometimes I'm an OG with
you. You know what I mean?
Always yelling at people on MySpace.
For sure, man. You know, you get a lot of flack, but like, you handle it well, man. So how do you make sure, because you're juggling a lot, how do you make sure that your children have a relationship with each other?
Yeah, man. That's one of my priorities, you know what I mean? But again, I gotta do it with compassion and empathy, because one thing you never want to do, even no matter how many children you have or how many baby mamas you have, you never want to generalize. I've learned with parenting, you want to give everybody that individual time, because when you think about it, me bringing everyone together truly only benefits me the most. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, oh, well, I want everybody to come to me for Christmas. So I want everybody, like, that is easier for me. But what I've learned, and even as a child and even as a parent,
every child wants to have an individual relationship with their parent. So I focus more on, okay, I'm gonna show up and be there on Mondays for this basketball practice, and Tuesdays I'm gonna make sure I'm going to dance rehearsal, and Wednesday, you know, for different, because that time, or just a ride in the car with your 4 or 5 year old, or just like, because they get that time, because when you have multiple children, everybody's vying for daddy's attention. And then those conversations of like, well, you did this with this. And so as much as I love the big gatherings and we do all get together, and, you know, I'm blessed enough to where I can rent out amusement parks and arcades.
Hey, man, invite me when you
get there. You know?
Like, I'll be in a separate area.
Yeah, and it's enough. If you don't get along, you go ride that ride, and they're going to be, you know. So, but it's a beautiful scenario. I cherish the individual time. And even, you know, my first children were twins, you know, and a boy and a girl, and they're 13 now. And I even would have to figure out, like, all right, this is the time with me and my son, and this is the time with me and my daughter, because they're always with someone else. And just as individuals, human beings, we don't want to be generalized. We don't want to always hear about the kids. You want to, you know, learn everybody's name and don't forget them in public. You know what I mean? So it's those ideas where you just want to make sure you treat everybody like an individual and really only understand that, you know, when bringing everybody together is really only for me. And selfishly, I do want that, and I don't demand it, because I respect everybody, especially the mothers of my children, their time and their energy. They may not want to show up when I want them to show up. They have their own schedules, their own careers, their own lives. So, you know, I can say, you plan it. Like, hey, I would love to do a great family day, you know, in June or in July, Father's Day. You know, like, I would love everybody to come to me. But because I created this lifestyle, I got to make sure that they have an individual relationship with their father. And it's not their burden to come to me, but it's my duty to go to them.
Yeah, I think that's super important, just carving out that time. I mean, I only got two.
Right.
And they, you know, just when they spend so much time in the house together and they clash or whatever, but, you know, me being the cool dad, I always want to create core memories for my children. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, growing up, my mom we couldn't really afford Jordan. So when I got money, I was just spending on Jordans.
Every
pair I saw. So, you know, you want to be better. So my daughter would start mentioning, like, oh, I like Paris. I want to go to Paris one day. And, you know, she would say it. I'd be like, hey, you ain't going to Paris. But then I started thinking, like, why not? This would be a great opportunity for me to, you know, really bond with my daughter, get her away from Lennon so she could have her one-on-one time with me. So I presented it to my wife. I didn't think she was going to take it like she took it. I thought she was going to go, well, I want to go to Paris. But she was cool. She was like, no, you should take her to Paris. So my daughter is a Swiftie. She loves Taylor Swift. Uh-huh. I found out that Taylor Swift had a show in Paris. Her European tour was opening in Paris. So I was like, you know what? I'm a kill two birds in one stone and take my daughter to Paris. But it was the most amazing thing I've ever got to do. You know what I mean? Just solo time with her. I was opening doors for her, teaching her how table etiquette. Just I was teaching her so many things, but it was like
the
cool way. And it's a core memory for her. I mean, and now my son, he's like, I want to go to Paris too.
So, he set the ball high, black man.
You know what I mean? But man, I don't regret it, man. Now it's going to be a thing. You know, now she wants to go to Tokyo. I'm going to take her to Tokyo. You know what I'm saying? But I want them to see the world. Just you know, allow them to dream and be curious about travel. And you know, and I look like the cool dad. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope.
But I'm curious, on a slightly serious note, you know, and it could be a funny story too. Can you just share an experience with your child that made you emotional?
Man, I'm a crybaby, man. So, like,
me too.
I'm an actor. So, like, the emotions be going. I cry at the sight of potty training. You know what I mean? Like any achievement, I'm tearing up just because of the processing. And even that, it's that innate feeling of me, like when I talk about like the presence and quality. So like every moment I get with my kids, especially having lost a child, you know what I mean? Like you get those moments where you're like, man, I love every and cherish every experience.
And so I'm always crying. I'm crying every day at some point, you know what I mean? Because it's usually, there's so much love, you know what I mean? And there's so, and when you, children have this unconditional way of just expressing how much they care for you. So like, I pick up my daughter from school every day and it never fails. Like as soon as I walk into the classroom, she just run into me, daddy. And just, like, there's nothing like daddy and them jumping into your arms. All right, we good. You ready? Go get your bag. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because it's like, you know those moments. You know what it means to her. Yeah. And then you know what really like, man, I'm going to cherish this forever. She, a couple years, she ain't going to be running and jumping in my arms like that. So it's, I literally am crying every day about something. So, I mean, and I love it, man. I love, you know, being able to express that emotion and even for my kids to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, for sure. Lance?
For me, it's my son's curiosity with my father. Mm-hmm. You know, I put him to bed at night. We say a prayer, and at that, those moments are when he has the most questions about my dad. And I ain't gonna put it down. But he it's always asks like, "Dad, show me a picture of Grandpa when he was a kid." And I always tell him like, yeah, "He was old. He ain't got no pictures as a kid." You know what I'm saying? I gotta really dig for that. But it's just. I always get emotional because he asks so many questions about him. He's so curious about him, and it's like, it's dope. It's dope.
Nah, for sure. What about you?
Mine would be like...
Did you cry at the birth?
I didn't cry. No, no, no.
You cried?
No, I swear to God I didn't.
What?
I watched the whole... I pulled my son's head out, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like...
I had that opportunity, too.
Yeah, yeah. I was
able to... They tricked me into that.
Yeah.
I was telling him, I ain't looking at
it. It didn't look real to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
when it don't really look real, do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
definitely... I mean, it's real, but it's like, it looked like...
Did y'all do it at the hospital or y'all do it at the crib?
Hospital.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've done multiple different...
Well, you had a lot of times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, at the hospital, it's a little easy. Like, the hospital, I got to... I was in there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when you do it at home, they got the midwife and stuff, and you're worrying about other things because you're not at a hospital. So, but I've had the... And then, you know, when you have twins, a lot of times, you got to have a C-section. So that process is even a little different as well, too. Yeah. So I've seen it a bunch of different ways, and I cried every time. Like, it's just, I'm a cry baby, but it's just like, you feel God in the room when that happens.
Nah,
like,
for sure.
It puts life into perspective.
Hey, Didi, what's the moment, though, that got you emotional? I know you said it wasn't a birth.
The birth didn't necessarily make me, I was just... curious, like I was like, this can't be real. Like, what the hell going on? But I would say when my son said "Dada,"
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. Y'all got hype.
yeah. Cause I didn't think he was gonna say it. I just kept saying it, and he was just, you could tell like he was trying. Like, man, what the hell you want me to say, bro? Yeah. You want me to just say what you saying? You could tell he was like looking at me like, oh, Dada, and I was like, oh man, that's crazy. Like, so that was definitely like. The most emotional that I've been.
Nah, for sure. Nah, it's emotional. And Nick, you know, you brought up the childbirth. You know, that can be an emotional time. You know, for the fathers and for the mothers.
Yeah.
And that actually sparked a question for me that I wanted to touch on is, you know, what women deal with the postpartum. And I know with you, you know, Hallie, she has expressed, you know, how she has dealt with that. I'm curious, man, and you guys can chime in too as well. You know, what have you done to kind of support her when she was going through that postpartum journey?
It's just being patient, man. Just. You know, just keeping that in mind when you going through something with her, you know, or going through, you know, like maybe y'all might have a little disagreement or something, or, you know, we might butt heads here and there, but, you know, I try my best to be as patient as possible because I know, like, it's something extracurricular going on in the head, you know, and that just comes with giving birth. So, I'll just say just being patient with it.
That's a great one. I would add to that, the next P is being present.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, that. A lot of times they just want someone there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Whether they want to yell at you, or they want to cry on your shoulder, or they just want to know that they feel seen, they feel heard, and that they're allowed to feel however they want to feel in that moment. I've learned that because I'm naturally a retreater. You know what I mean? If something going down, I'm like, I'll be back. You know what I mean? And like, that's not really the thing to do. I'm trying to keep the peace, so I fall back. Yeah. But sometimes you got to lean in, especially in those times of, you know, emotions and being there to be like, it's funny, man, because no matter how you do it, and even with postpartum and even during the pregnancy, women take note. They take note of where you are, what you did, how you did it, and they will never forget it. And yeah. they will always remind you. And if it's a beautiful thing of like, you were there,
yeah.
and I appreciate you for being yeah. there. You let me do this to you, and this, and you know, I woke you up in the middle of the night, and you went and got this for me. Like they, and, but they also remember the times where they needed you and you weren't there.
That's right.
And so I try to, you know, I try to be there more than, and I've learned that, you know what I mean? That lesson has hit me quite a bit, because the fact that a lot of times we are gone, yeah. and then it's my nature to be like, oh, she tripping a little bit. I'm yeah. like, I'll be back. You know what I mean? But now I've learned, like, nah, it's not, you got to be there. You got to be present. And that's what being a man and being a father is about.
That's
know,
a fact.
You know, for your woman.
That's a fact. Lance?
I would say being understanding and gentle. You know, if you don't understand, try to create an understanding. I say gentle because I got myself into trouble during my wife's second pregnancy. She had gestational diabetes. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying, as a man, you know, we kind of push each other like, you got this. And I was trying to do that, but I was like, you know, it's not that hard. We just going to, I didn't say it like that. But basically what I was trying to say is I got you. I'm going to help you through this. But I didn't say it the right way.
That's so crazy.
And she took it like it really affected her. And I was just like, oh, OK, so I have to watch my approach. I can't take the approach that I normally would. You know what I mean?
It's so crazy that you say that, because for one of my children, we did a pre-birthing class, and it was that exact thing. She was like, don't say you got this.
Yeah.
Say I got you.
Yeah.
In that process. And it's like, you hold, like, because you got this sounds like you on your own.
Yeah.
And they need support. You know, she's like, say, it's crazy that you said that, because yeah. that's the exact thing. And that I never, from that day, I've never said, you got this.
Right? Yeah.
It's like, I got you. We got this.
Or we're going to get through it together.
Yeah, yeah, but when you say you got this, mm-hmm. you isolate.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah, man. Yeah.
That's some words of wisdom right there, man. And like I said, man, I know you're fresh in this thing, bro. So best advice I can give, bro, is just, you know, when you're dealing with that journey, you know, I don't know if she's still dealing with that, but, you know, it's a journey, bro. Have patience. Just keep showing up. And, you know, on a lighter note, just always know she don't really mean it, right? You know what I'm saying? She just, like Nick said, they just want that. They need you there. So don't take it personal. Keep showing up how you're showing up, bro. From what I see, bro, you're a great father, man. It's beautiful to see. And all you guys are great fathers from what we see, man. I just truly appreciate what you guys are doing. It's inspiring for me to see other black men just, you know, standing on business when it comes to parenthood, man. Like, I just love to see that. And I appreciate Walmart for taking the time with their Black and Unlimited program.
Likewise.
For just highlighting progressive parenting and black men. I think it's much needed in the community. I couldn't think of a better company for us at BET to partner with for this, man. This is what fellas is about, man. We here, we fellowshipping, we're educating each other, enlightening each other, and having each other's back. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, I just appreciate
holding space for each other.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, hold each other down, man. I truly appreciate each one of you sitting down with us, man, just sharing your stories. I know somebody out there is gonna feel the testimony from you guys. I know somebody out there is gonna learn from this and know that we swinging with you. You know, there's a journey every day in this fatherhood journey, but you're doing enough. And I just appreciate you guys being here from the BET family. I think we speak for everybody here. We appreciate y'all, man.
Likewise.
Absolutely, man. It's been a blessing.
Advice that I could give to a father is, you got this. I mean, none of us are perfect. We're all learning as we go. Just love your babies and lead with kindness, and you will succeed at that. Also, old heads would always tell me it goes fast. So now I'm gonna be that old head and tell you that it goes very fast. Enjoy every moment.
Some insight that I have as a father is that, you know, we are all a community, and we learn from one another in this process. So I would just encourage each and every father out there to continue to shine. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine amongst men so that they can see your good works and give all glory to the Father, the true Father in heaven. And I think that's what we got to understand, man. Just shine as much as you possibly can, and through adversity, through all the challenges, hold your head high, be stoic, and be purposeful.
My advice that I can give to a young father would be to be patient, to also treat the mother of your child with respect, and kind of think of it as like, you know, how would my kid feel if I said this to his mom in front of him? Or how would my kid feel about this? Because, you know, the mom is really the nurturer. So be patient, have fun with it more than anything, and don't be scared. You know, it's a blessing. There's people out here that can't even have kids. So, you know, I feel like a lot of young fathers take it as like a curse, or they take it as like, oh, I got a kid on the way, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Thinking of it as like a life-changing experience, because being a father definitely changed my life.
I'm DDG.
I'm Lance Gross.
Nick Cannon. And you're watching For The Fellas on BET.
I'm Brian McIntosh. Thank you for watching our Father's Day edition of For The Fellas, presented by Walmart.
Yep. We got low books.
Hey,
yeah, one more time.
3, 2, 1.
I'm DDG.
One time.
I got to check
this. Ready?
3, 2, 1.
I'm DDG, and you're watching For The Fellas.
I'm Brian McIntosh. Thank you all for watching our special. I'm Brian McIntosh. Thank y'all for watching our special edition of For The Fellas, sponsored by Walmart.
Special Father's Day edition.
I'm Brian McIntosh. Thank you guys for watching our special Father's Day edition of For The Fellas, sponsored by Walmart.
Presented by Walmart.
I'm Brian McIntosh. Thank y'all for watching our special edition of For The Fellas, presented by Walmart.
Walmart.
I'm Brian McIntosh. This is going in the bloopers, too. I'm Brian McIntosh.